Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're plunging into something maybe a bit overlooked, but actually crucial: the forklift.
That's right. Seems mundane, maybe, but it's everywhere.
Exactly. And we're tackling this big question from our sources: will lithium-ion forklifts ever rule the world? I mean, we know lithium-ion in our Teslas, phones, even golf carts now.
Yep, familiar tech.
But now it's seriously making waves for forklift buyers. Could it actually revolutionize this whole industry? Think about it: logistics, manufacturing, almost every store you go into relies on these things.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today: unpack the tech, weigh the pros, look at the cons, and really gauge its potential. Okay, let's dive in.
What's fascinating here, I think, is that this isn't just about forklifts, you know?
Right.
It really points to this wider trend.
Hmm.
Energy efficiency, sustainability. It's sweeping across all industry.
Yeah, that drive for cleaner power.
Exactly. It's pushing innovation, even in tools we kind of take for granted. And forklifts, they're a perfect example of where these changes are having a real, practical impact.
I totally agree. But okay, to really get the scale of this, we need to start with the basics, right? The spark itself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a PhD here, but just a mental picture. You, listening, might be wondering, how do these batteries actually work? What's going on inside?
It's actually pretty elegant, electrochemically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So at its core, you've got these two main parts, the terminals. We call them the anode and the cathode.
Yeah, okay.
And between them, there's this special liquid, the electrolyte. Think of the anode as like one side, usually graphite. The cathode is the other side, typically metal oxide with lithium in it.
Lithium, that's the key.
That's the key. And the electrolyte is usually a lithium salt. Lithium's special because it really, really wants to give away an electron. That makes it a lithium ion.
Okay, got it.
So when you charge the battery, these lithium ions, they basically shuttle across from the cathode through that electrolyte liquid,
mm-hmm.
and they head over to the anode. But the electrons they leave behind, they can't go through the liquid.
Yeah.
They have to take an outside path, an external circuit. And that movement, that flow of electrons, is the electricity we use to charge it up.
Ah.
So the ions and electrons kind of settle into the anode, and boom, it's charged. The source material has a great analogy. A charged cell is unstable, like a bouncy ball at the top of a steep hill.
Just waiting to roll down.
Exactly. Waiting for a chance. And that rolling down, that's what happens when you turn something on, like our forklift.
The discharge cycle.
Precisely. The whole thing reverses. Lithium ions travel back through the electrolyte to the cathode, the electrons. They zip back through that external circuit again.
Creating the power.
Creating the current that powers the forklift. So it's really this controlled back and forth flow of ions and electrons. That's how we store and release the energy when we need it.
So it's all about managing that bouncy ball, keeping it on the hill until you need the energy. Makes sense. Okay, so that's the general principle of lithium ion. But our deep dive singles out lithium iron phosphate life poo. Why that one specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all the concerns now about, you know, environmental impact and human rights.
That's a really crucial point.
Yeah.
Because look, for a long time, the standard was lithium cobalt oxide cathodes.
Right. I've heard about issues with cobalt.
Yeah. And the research highlights these. There are really legitimate, serious concerns from human rights groups, environmental watchdogs.
What kind of concerns?
Well, the material points to things like CO2 emissions from mining. It can be pretty significant. Then there's the really troubling stuff links to child labor in some areas, often under incredibly dangerous conditions.
Wow.
And it doesn't stop there. Mine runoff can contaminate water, leading to serious health problems, even birth defects. It's a heavy price, ethically and environmentally.
Definitely.
And besides the ethics, lithium cobalt oxide has stability issues too. If it gets warm, the electrolyte can dry out. That can cause a short circuit.
Which could lead to?
Worst case, fire. Even an explosion risk. And this is where LifePure really steps up. It's described as far more stable thanks to iron's oxygen bonds.
Iron, not cobalt.
Exactly. Iron makes it much more stable. So the source says no risk of overheating or explosion. Big plus. And, crucially, uses way less cobalt, sometimes none, directly addressing those huge ethical and environmental problems. It's just fundamentally better on several fronts.
That's a massive improvement. Better safety, more ethical sourcing.
Okay.
So if LifePure is safer and more ethical, how does that actually play out on, say, a busy warehouse floor? What are the practical advantages making people switch?
Oh, the practical advantages are huge. They really change the game day to day. Let's start with what we just talked about. Incredible safety.
Right, the stability.
That inherent stability. It basically eliminates those worries about overheating or fires you had with older chemistries. That's enormous peace of mind for anyone running an operation.
Can you imagine?
Then there's consistent power. This is a really big one. You know how traditional lead-acid batteries kind of fade as they run down?
Yeah, the forklift gets sluggish near the end of the shift.
Exactly. Lithium-ion doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It delivers consistent power right through the charge cycle. Mm-hmm. No annoying power dips.
So, better predictability for getting work done.
Totally. You don't have to factor in slowing forklifts when you're planning work or setting targets. Huge for efficiency. Maybe even makes the operators happier.
Makes sense. What else?
Okay, quick charging and way less downtime. This is maybe the biggest operational shift. Lead acid. Heat's the enemy. You need a full charge cycle, careful filling, and then a long cool down period afterwards.
Time is money, right?
As the source says, time is money. Lion changes that completely. You can do what's called opportunistic charging. Meaning the operator can just plug it in during their coffee break or over lunch. Doesn't hurt the battery. And critically, no cool down needed. They plug it in, grab a sandwich, unplug, and get right back to work. Maximizes uptime massively.
That's a world away from dedicating hours and space to charging.
Absolutely. Then there's low maintenance. Lead acid needs regular watering, equalizing charges, cleaning terminals. It's a whole routine.
Time-consuming.
And sometimes messy. Lina needs pretty much next to no maintenance in comparison. Less maintenance means more hours the forklift is actually working, fewer labor hours spent fussing with batteries, better productivity all around. Warehouse managers probably love hearing low maintenance.
Probably ranks right up there with free donuts.
Oh, probably. And don't forget the lower environmental cost. Obviously, zero operating emissions compared to gas or diesel. But also, no lead, no sulfuric acid like in traditional batteries.
Right, those are hazardous material.
Very. Even with recycling programs, the WHO points out lead can cause serious contamination and health issues if not handled perfectly. Lion just avoids that whole problem.
Okay, that's a strong list. Anything else?
One more key thing. Fewer batteries overall. Because they last longer and charge quickly, one Lion battery can often do the work of several lead acid ones that need swapping out.
So less storage space needed for batteries.
Less storage space, yeah, and potentially lower long-term cost. Plus, and this is important for safety again, it eliminates that acid splash hazard when you're physically swapping heavy lead-acid batteries. Think about lifting those things, the risk involved.
Yeah.
Gone.
Wow. Okay, that really does sound like a complete transformation. Better safety, more uptime, less environmental hassle. But like you said, no silver bullets. Yeah. What's the catch? What are the hurdles, especially that upfront cost? Is it just too much for some?
You hit the nail on the head. That is the main drawback, particularly if you're a smaller operation.
Yeah.
The upfront cost.
How much more are we talking?
The source material suggests they can be around 3 times the price of a lead acid battery machine. That's a significant initial investment. It's definitely a barrier.
3 times. Ouch.
Yeah. But you have to balance it immediately with the long-term savings.
Okay, how so?
Because they charge faster, need virtually no maintenance, and generally last much longer, that higher price is, well, it's truly that, an initial investment.
So you expect to make it back over time?
Exactly. Over the whole life of the forklift, which could be longer now, you expect significant savings from better efficiency, less downtime, no maintenance costs, longer battery life. It shifts the calculation from just purchase price to total cost of ownership. It's CapEx versus OpEx over the long run.
Right, thinking about the total life cycle cost.
Precisely. The only other potential hiccup mentioned is recycling costs.
Ah, because it's newer tech.
Exactly. LifePO is still relatively new in this application, so most batteries are still being used. That means the recycling infrastructure is still developing in its infancy, as the source puts it.
So recycling might be expensive right now.
It may charge high fees, yes. But the outlook is positive. Those fees should go down as the recycling programs become more efficient. As more batteries reach end of life and the volume increases, economies of scale should kick in. So it seems like more of a temporary growing pain.
Okay, so the cost is a hurdle, but maybe more of a strategic investment calculation than just a flat expense. And recycling is likely to improve.
That seems to be the consensus, yeah.
So pulling it all together then, how do these LifeCore forklifts really stack up against the old guard, gas, diesel, traditional electric? And what's the bigger picture here for the future of moving stuff around in warehouses and factories?
Well, based on everything we've discussed, if you put a LifeCore forklift head-to-head with a traditional lead-acid electric or a diesel or a gas model, the source is pretty clear. The Lion will almost always win.
Because of all those advantages we listed.
Yep. The environmental pluses, the near-zero maintenance, the quick charging, that consistent power. It's a compelling package.
Are there any situations where the old ways might still be better?
There might be some niche cases. The source acknowledges gas or diesel could still be preferred in certain situations, maybe super remote places with zero charging infrastructure, or if there's some very specific, unique maneuverability need that current electric models just can't meet. But these exceptions seem to be getting smaller.
Okay. And the future, what's the prediction?
The research pulls no punches here. It calls gas and diesel dinosaurs, slowly making their way to extinction.
Strong words.
Yeah. The global push for clean energy is just too strong. It means, as they say, lithium-ion energy is here to stay. Think about it. Old electric forklifts had drawbacks. Costly maintenance, those super long charge times.
Right, the things Lion fixes.
Exactly. Lion changes all that. It tackles the maintenance burden and enables that game-changing, opportunistic charging. It makes electric not just viable, but often superior. And LifePo specifically, being safer and ditching the cobalt, that makes it an even smarter, more sustainable choice. It really makes you wonder.
Wonder what?
Well, it raises an important question. Just how quickly will these dinosaurs fade out? When will we walk into a warehouse and not see them?
It really feels like a major shift is underway, not just the tech, but the whole way industries think about operations.
Huh.
So what does this all mean? Well, let's sum it up. LifePo's forklifts are definitely charging ahead. They offer some really big advantages.
Yeah.
Safety, efficiency, environmental benefits, and lower costs over the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the upfront cost is higher. That's undeniable. But the benefits seem to stack up pretty convincingly against that initial hurdle. Looks like a genuinely transformative technology for industrial logistics.
I agree. And the material we looked at is pretty confident in its prediction. We won't be surprised if, a few years down the road, lithium-ion forklifts rule the world. Or at the very least, they say they'll be much more prevalent in warehouses, factories, and stores.
The momentum feels real.
It really does. It's pushing towards a cleaner, definitely more efficient industrial future.
And here's a final thought for you, our listener. This isn't just about forklifts, is it? It's kind of a template for decarbonizing any sector that uses heavy machinery.
Good point.
So the question becomes, what other dinosaurs are out there in different industries just waiting for a similar technological shift? And what's really holding them back? Maybe the real insight is seeing how quickly those long-term benefits, sustainability, efficiency, are starting to outweigh simple upfront cost. It seems like a new benchmark for industrial progress. That's all for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.